You are listening to the Sideline Sauce Podcast, episode 22. Joey stole my lunch.
What? Today, we are dedicating the episode to something we love even more than sports.
Food.
Yum. We will be joined by competitive eater and world record holder, Joey Chestnut, to talk about the process.
Later, we will talk with former ESPN writer, current ChefWorks senior content writer, and one of my best friends, Kevin Gemmel, to talk about his transition from football to the food industry, and maybe hear him sell Joey Chestnut some aprons.
Oh,
I don't know.
We might hear everything.
Ready?
Set.
Bon appetit.
Everyone, Kaylee Chris here with Emily Van Buskirk, and welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, welcome, and we hope you brought your appetite. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks just for you, and show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com.
Come back often, and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass with 3 S's. Or if you're like Emily's mom, go ahead and like our page on Facebook.
While you're at it, follow the Sass on our individual pages. I am at Emilnem on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am at Cakes88 on Instagram and at Miss Krish on Twitter.
We really got to get her on the same hype.
We need to find that girl.
One day. Those links can be found in the show notes in case you're kicking yourself for not writing them down.
Which I'm sure you are, but let's go ahead and get sassy.
Let's do it. Stick a fork in me because I am done. We are joined now by Joey Chestnut, world champion eater, hot dog swallower extraordinaire.
You did that so well.
Joey, slide down your gullet, Chestnut.
Put it in your mouth and swallow it.
I'm sure you've heard them all.
Oh, yeah.
And he is coming fresh
off. They keep coming.
They don't stop.
Coming fresh off his world champion, Nathan's hot dog, 4th of July extravaganza. And you beat your own record.
Yes.
You ate so 74 hot dogs in how much time?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes of playtime.
And buns. Yeah. People don't realize that they eat the buns.
Yeah, the buns are the hard part.
Do you dip them in water?
I dip the buns in warm water.
In warm
get them
water.
Nice and warm and wet.
Thinking about that, honestly.
That's so cool.
It makes them go down quick. Yeah. And the warm water helps your stomach loosen up and muscles relax.
Gosh.
I don't know where to begin with you because...
How long have you been competitive eating?
Oh
my God.
Good question.
Probably shortly after birth. I started eating. I'm a competitive... I grew up in a big family, six kids. And I... Wow.
In Vallejo.
Shout out, Cali guy.
In the V.
The V. What do they call it? The, what is he 40 over? The Valley Joe.
Valley Joe.
Yeah. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
But,
have you heard from E40 ever? Like, does he ever reach out?
He has never reached out, but I've met him a couple times.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like
he's a really nice guy.
He seems
nice.
And I never got to meet Mac Dre either. Growing up, Mac Dre.
None of us got to meet Mac Dre. How would you have met Mac Dre? We're the same age.
I'm pretty young. Well, no, I'm 34.
I'm going to be 33 next month. I've never met Mac Dre.
He died while I was in college. He's, and I grew up in Vallejo, so you always think you're going to run into him.
You thought you were going to see him.
He was in the press side, yeah.
Did you see a bunch of sideshows and then just like try and be like, oh, is Mac Dre there?
Growing up, you always think, oh, who are those guys hanging out by the school?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Mac
Dre. Maybe one of them. One of them might be.
Rest in peace. All
right. Yes. But anyways.
You got into competitive eating.
My little brother signed me up to my first contest when I was 21 because he knew I could eat more than everybody in the family.
Why did it take him that long to sign you up?
Because I didn't want to go.
He had tried before.
Oh, he'd been trying for like a year, and
you were like, no.
I really didn't. I thought competitive eating was really weird, and for the most part, I was right.
Yeah, it is.
you've learned that was correct.
But
it's also lucrative.
I was 21, and they offered me a free hotel room in Reno.
That's right, I read that.
Yeah.
At the Boomtown, and and I'd never eaten lobster before, so I was like, I'll go to Reno.
And they pulled out all the stops for you.
So yeah.
Free lobster, free hotel room. What more could you want?
What more could I get?
Did you end up winning that one?
No, I got third.
Third.
Okay.
I got third, and
pretty
mostly
good.
Because I was just nervous.
Yeah.
I'm still a shy guy. It was just so weird to eat, and have people just telling you to keep eating more. I was like looking at. I was like a deer in the headlights.
Aww.
Were people mean to you because you were a newcomer?
the other eaters?
Yeah, because like I feel like those people were probably around like.
Not initially, but when I started beating them, they became really aggressive.
What would be like the worst thing that someone said or did?
Oh, I remember one of them put odds against me. I remember I said I was going to eat 50 hot dogs the next year.
Uh-huh.
50?
Okay.
And the most an American had done at that time was 32.
Oh.
And Kobayashi was the only one who got 50. And he was like, oh, I'll pay anybody 100-1 against Joey to be doing 50 hot dogs.
He just wanted someone to beat you. That's so mean.
And so I went to his qualifier in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And I did 50 hot dogs at his qualifier and beat him, so he had to go to another qualifier.
Oh, my God.
Just followed him around, like, all the qualifiers.
Every time.
Like, no, not today.
Not today, Rich.
Sir.
So,
he's a really nice. That guy's, like, 74 now and still doing the eating contest.
He still does it. Yeah. Wow.
Good old
like
dude.
It's a lifestyle. It's not really, like, a, you know, it's like when you see these athletes play basketball or baseball or whatever, it's, like, it's their life. Like, this is, like, your, like, it's a
like
lifestyle.
You plan your yearly training and eating and how you're gonna prepare yearly, right?
Well, like no. right now I'm on reward mode, so I don't really give. I have another contest coming up, so I'll start fasting. So, but yeah. I'm not really practicing for it.
You're not there yet.
But for hot dogs, for 2 months, I'm on a pretty strict diet. Either I'm recovering from a contest,
mm-hmm.
or recovering from a practice, or prepping for my next practice.
Yeah.
And recovery is I'm bloated and tired from practice, and I'm trying to eat fiber. And then once for 2 days I'm feeling like garbage, and then I have one nice day of eating fish and a regular day.
Uh-huh.
Then I go back into cleansing mode where it's pretty much water and lemon juice and a minimal protein supplement, and I go into my next practice empty.
Wow,
that's nice.
I think
every
practice
I try to go up a little bit.
Yeah, I think my biggest question, as soon as like I started thinking, you know, preparing for the interview and stuff like that, my biggest question is like, how do you feel after a competition? Like, are you just used to it now, or like, what is that? And how long does it take you to feel like normal again?
I know I'm gonna feel like garbage.
Yeah.
It's kind of, once I went into it knowing I was gonna feel like garbage for days, I was able to push myself harder because I wasn't eating to have fun or eating to feel good necessarily. I was eating to win,
mm-hmm.
and I was gonna do whatever it took. So I'm like a marathon runner or a boxer.
Yeah.
They know that they're not gonna feel great the next couple days.
Yeah.
It's if they thought they were gonna feel great, they would not try to push themselves so hard.
That's true.
That's
true. They would just push themselves hard enough to feel okay.
Yeah.
Running's
worse. So,
I don't know how runners do it. With the 74 hot dog, I think 26 miles is much more crazy than 76 hot dogs.
That's
nuts. So, or 74 hot dogs.
I was just going to say, you're already pushing yourself.
I already got a plan. I got a plan for next year.
So, okay. Well, what is your goal next year?
Well, I've been doing two more every year.
Oh,
the last
two
couple
every
years,
year.
But,
okay.
I know I can do 80. But
I heard 90.
I
heard 90.
We'll see. 90 would be really.
Do you know if you can hit that? But you want to extend
if
your career.
If Kobayashi ever comes back, I gotta leave some in the tank.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to let him think.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
give
topped.
Him a goal that I'm topped out at. Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, no, but I am trying my hardest on 4th of July. Don't let anybody think that.
We believe you.
It's clear that I'm not. It's hard. In those last couple hot dogs towards the end. If you get a burp that comes out the wrong way, it looks like you barf. So,
you get penalized for that, right? Like
you get disqualified.
You get disqualified if you throw up.
Yeah, if you throw up.
Oh, wow.
So at the end, any of those burps could cost you the entire thing. So I'm really careful. I have to slow down, and make sure that I control my burps.
Wow. And so you do burp during.
You have to burp a little bit.
Even
though, you know, I'm trying to dunk the buns to get the air out of the buns,
mm-hmm.
there's still air going in when I swallow.
Yeah.
And then it's trying to sneak its way out.
Yeah, so you're just trying to like burp and compact everything in your
stomach. I'm trying to use every bit of my capacity.
Oh my God.
And
you
it's
go
not
and
pretty.
See a doctor how often?
Oh, twice during the practice. During
I was
going to
say, I think that's the first question
then,
I asked him when I met him. When we met, I said, like, how, like, do you have a doctor on call? Do you travel with one?
No,
like,
no. And I've been really lucky. She runs my blood work, and she's like, oh, let's do the whole spectrum, not just. But then she runs through everything.
The spectrum,
it's,
like
no, like, you're no, like, well, she goes make sure the diabetes check,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
all
cholesterol
levels,
yeah.
And liver and kidneys, mm-hmm. you know, and she does everything, and it actually feels good knowing that I'm not hurting
myself.
So I'm like, all right, if there was something wrong, I wouldn't want to push myself.
My dad that's listening to this, is the biggest skeptic of that what you just said, that you're not hurting yourself. I think it's hard for people to believe that what you're doing isn't hurting something inside. But if you do it the right way, I guess.
There's times I believe. Sometimes I think that I have to be hurting something. As an adult, you see anybody who pushes their body to the limit is hurting. Whether you're a carpenter, right. You're hurting. If you're a lawyer or anybody, the stress, it takes a toll on
your
body.
My dad is a lawyer, so there you go. I'm going to tell him that.
I mean, doing anything to the absolute limit, there is going to be a consequence.
It's just funny in our society because food is such a it's such a taboo thing from like whether you're eating too much and then people are shaming for that, or people are eating too little and they're not they have an issue with food. We have such a complex relationship with food.
It's so
in America.
Social.
It is.
When I go on a diet and I'm a hardcore diet, it's so hard to people are why aren't you eating? Eat this.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. So it's.
Do you ever give up beer or alcohol fully?
Absolutely.
You do?
You see, I don't know if you don't tell everybody, we frequent some of the same establishments.
Yes. And we can talk about
we'll talk about
And you guys can tell when I'm not around for like months.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, for a couple months, I'm not going out very much.
Yeah.
And I still get a reward day every once in a while.
I was going
to
say.
And that's my hardest thing is when I'm trying to eat, and I hate calling it a diet because it's really where I want to just be lifestyle wise, but like when I am trying to eat well, alcohol is the one thing that I'm just like, I don't know how to give that up. But I do notice it when I'm doing that and I go out to a bar. Well, I want tater tots and french fries and tacos and all these things that
and people laugh and while they're eating, and it's hard, but
it is social.
Yeah, it is.
Do you ever get anyone, and I don't know if this has ever come up, but it popped into my brain because I think weirdly, but do you ever get people like anti eating competitions because of like world famine?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I don't know. I'm thinking like we have so many people that protest so many things.
The world famine people are actually pretty smart. They know that famine's not caused or the hunger thing, the world hunger.
World hunger, they
know it's not caused by an eating contest. The amount of waste in eating contest is not that much.
Do you get it like religious zealots, like gluttony or any of that stuff?
No, the biggest ones are those crazy vegans.
Oh, those the ones vegans.
Are, always
those
the
are
vegans.
Goofballs.
Is it the vegetarians too because of like the hot dog aspect?
No, they're all the hot dogs, you're killing animals. And it's not even the waste, they're just purely killing animals. You know how many animals died for that? And you're celebrating it? Oh my god, I'm like
I would have not thought of that at all because hot dogs are like everywhere.
Not only everywhere, but it's everything. It's
a baseball game?
It's like the rest of whatever. It's not like, an actual they
I'm
just
not
like
against being vegan.
Yeah,
just,
I know,
but
yeah.
they love to push their agenda on other people.
Oh yeah.
That's the weird part.
It is.
That's a great point. Sorry, vegans out there. Please don't stop listening to us.
But as far as the
I'm never gonna do that.
But as far as the hunger thing, like a lot of the time we're working with charities.
Eating
there contests. You go. That's
I think
what
they gave away Nathan's gave away 100,000 hot dogs to food banks around the nation.
Wow. That's amazing.
See?
That's a lot of hot dogs.
That's a lot.
See, I like that. Now, see, but that's not something I feel like is out there as much. Like I wouldn't know that. So they need to.
They put it out there.
You got to self promote.
Come on. We'll plug it. We're plugging.
I'll
do you work
more.
With any charities specifically, or?
I do. I work with Hidden Heroes.
Okay.
They provide services and care to. Resources to military caregivers.
That's awesome.
People who are closest to the veterans.
That's awesome.
Who can actually do the most to help veterans. They help them.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
And that's in the spirit of the 4th of July type competition.
In the spirit of 4th of July and just
America.
Being good Americans. Yeah. I think they really are a group of people that don't get recognition. They're thrust in this the role of helping the veterans that come back from...
Right, who are...
Yeah.
Need help.
Yeah.
So... Your career takes off, and you're doing this stuff, and you're with... I didn't know that there was a major league eating or whatever this is. And
oh, now you do.
Yeah, and now I've gone down this rabbit... Last night, I went down major rabbit holes for this, for the hot dog eating contest, all that stuff.
A Joey Jaws chestnut.
Like, just so much rabbit hole for, like,
yeah.
3 hours. It's fine.
Oh, my God. I'm afraid of what you brought up.
No.
There are some bad ones.
There's
some,
a lot of stories out there.
There's some
weird
things out there about me.
But my question is, how many people came out... of the woodwork after like all of this blew up and you're now on ESPN and you're everywhere and you're promoting stuff, is like, are all these people like, obviously your family knows and they're probably around, but like, did you get a lot of Did you get hit up all the time immediately?
Like from old people or like old high school?
Just like anyone people trying to
I'm really good at ignoring people.
I had to message you. You know, I was persistent.
You're persistent. Your persistence is, it was like, she's sincere.
Yeah, I'm very sincere. But I'm also like, hey, for old time's sake,
you're not going to back out of this one.
Yeah.
But, you get hit up by everybody. Yeah. And
do people ever want to come to the actual, like, 4th of July thing? I was always curious, like, do you ever bring people with you? Like,
I always bring close friends and family. Yeah.
Is it fun for them to go to that?
It's a little bit stressful for my family. Because they know how lighthearted and goofy I am.
Yeah.
And then they see serious. And I'm like, that's the only time I'm really serious is around that contest.
Is your mom ever worried you're going to choke on something? Like, does anyone ever worry about that?
My mom used to say that all the time.
I would think that,
When I was practicing in front of her when I was younger, it's like she would help me practice. And she's like, slow down, take your time to breathe. I'm like, mom,
I can't slow down. Literally not the point.
That's so cute. But, she would help you train.
She would help me train.
Would she cook food for you to eat?
She would help me cook it. Like, she was amazing.
Aww.
That's crazy. Yeah.
She was a boss.
So it's like a real family effort. Your brother got you into it.
My little brother
got... People were part of the training.
Oh, yeah. And my sisters still come out every 4th of July. They come out there.
That's nuts.
That's so crazy.
Well, then my biggest other question that will probably be the only thing that I really care about, the answer is a hot dog a sandwich? Do you get asked that a lot?
I get asked a little bit, quite a bit. But I think a hot dog, it's its own thing.
It's not a sandwich.
It's a hot dog. I
need to hear you say it's not a sandwich.
It's
That's
clearly
huge.
Not.
That's going to, like, people are going to be upset.
Well, it's just, think about it for a little bit.
I don't know why someone would think about it.
But a sandwich.
It's in a bun. It's got bread.
Exactly. It's a bun. It's a bun. It's a bun. A hot dog is just simply that piece of meat with the bun.
Which is attached. A bun is attached.
Yeah,
so it's technically not one.
It's not sliced bread.
Yeah, but rolls are attached sometimes when you get them at the deli.
Sometimes, but it's not sliced meat. There's just so many weird things that you don't ever put lettuce on a hot dog.
Okay,
ever.
That's true. Well, but like...
What kind of fascist would do that?
I think Chicagoans do
like
that.
Relish and...
They put relish, no
pickles.
Lettuce.
I feel like I've seen lettuce on a hot dog.
Every now and then you see somebody
get
fancy.
Fancy ones, you know?
Fancy hot dogs.
No.
Would you ever eat hot dogs like... For fun anymore? Ever?
I do. If I'm at a baseball game,
you will eat a hot dog
at
a baseball game.
Yeah.
Will you eat more than one?
Yeah. I'll get. Yeah. I'm not getting just one. Who the heck would just get one?
How about your record at a baseball game?
Oh, I went to a Dodger game. I did 27, I think.
No.
What? Dodger dogs?
Wait. Not for a competition.
No, I was there. I was there at the all you can eat.
Okay.
And I was eating.
Okay.
Did people notice and then they start watching?
I was there with a writer and he was just, "Oh, you want to eat with me?" And like, so we just ate hot dogs and.
How many did he eat?
I think he just had like 3 or 4.
Amateur.
That's discouraging.
Amateur.
Yeah.
But
was it a writer from the Times? I probably know him.
No, I was. Was it ESPN or it was, Rick Riley?
Oh, Rick Riley. I know him personally, but
he's a nice guy.
That's cool. So he did like a story.
He did a little story.
So is it weird to get like media requests still, or you're just like used to it now? Like you've done so many appearances, it's not weird.
It's still weird.
Yeah.
You know, I still get nervous, but it's nice. It's great when people actually do the research. You guys
did a lot of research.
That was awesome. She asked me questions before we. Yeah,
I like to do pre interviews.
So we try to stay on track, and we're not doing so great.
I never stay on track.
So
that's Kaylee's job, is to rein me in.
And this is what I always do. Getting back to it. No, so you have a competition coming up.
Yes.
And
it's on Sunday. Yeah.
It's on Sunday. Okay.
Whoa! It's this Sunday.
Yeah.
When do you fly out?
I fly out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
It's in one of Kaylee's favorite places.
And one of my favorite foods. So, going to Milwaukee, right?
No.
Oh, that's what she said.
I thought that's what the next one was.
Unless I got double booked.
No.
I think Milwaukee is in August.
Oh, I thought that was now. Oh, my bad.
I know. All right, yeah.
First, you're doing a cheese curd. Eating contest.
In Milwaukee. Yes.
And that's in August.
Okay.
Oh,
and cheese curds are great.
We should come out for that. We should go to that.
They are my favorite.
She has family in Milwaukee. Yes.
And I'm a Packers
fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been to the Brewers games.
Yeah,
and they're
I
awesome.
Love Brewers games. Which is so funny we're talking about this because I was contemplating in my room if I should put my Brewers shirt on. And I was like, no, I didn't even think about it. But that would have been perfect. But cheese curds, amazing.
Have you done cheese curds?
You can only get them in Wisconsin, though. Like, they're not great everywhere else. Yeah, it's the perfect cheese there.
I don't see them on here.
No, I've never done them in contests.
So this is the first time.
First time doing any, like, straight cheese contests.
Wait, so they don't fry them? Like,
they do fry them, but it's not breaded. It's just... Are they doing?
Fried? I think they're straight cheese curds.
You don't even know.
I think it's just gonna be squeaky cheese.
I mean, you could do that too, because they do call them curds if it's just the. But they, in Wisconsin, it's like that. You do fry them, but
I thought at the fair they would fry them. But I emailed them.
Is this a big deal that you're doing it? Because there's a lot of news about it.
I know. I was surprised.
And I saw the thing on Twitter. The guy challenged me.
Yeah. So I might have to eat against this guy beforehand.
Is he like a real? Oh, so he's not in the competition, but he just wants to eat against you.
Yeah.
Do you get challenged all the time?
Quite a bit.
Do you love these sodas? Beautiful?
Look at the veins bulging. Look at that.
Look at your neck. Like, I look at it now, and then I look at it in the picture.
We're going to have to put this picture on our website so people can see it.
So, I love how they identify you as the man who ate 74 hot dogs. So
the man.
Oh, it is? Okay, it's August 11th. Okay, so it is first ever cheese curd eating competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. But it doesn't define...
I really wish we could go, because the Wisconsin...
We should go.
The Wisconsin State Fair is absolutely amazing, and just...
We're
going to
go. We're coming.
Is it going to be hot as heck out there?
Hot as heck? No, it's a little humid.
It's noon, the contest, too. They're doing it right at noon.
High noon.
So it's have 6 minutes to eat as many cheese curds as possible.
They're going
to
see Joey Chestnut sweat. Man, I do what it is.
Is that something you would prep for heat-wise? Like, you're outside. Do you prep for your outside temperature?
I get worried about the sweat. Yeah. Just because I stopped drinking water about 8 hours before the contest.
Okay.
Just because I want to make sure I'm absolutely empty.
Yeah.
But it takes a little bit more to make sure I'm hydrated for that.
Will you practice that? Like, will you, in your living room at home, do you crank up the temperature or anything?
This year, when we had a heat wave in San Jose, I was practicing in the heat.
Yeah, just to get yourself prepared.
And we had like 102 degrees.
Yeah, it was really hot.
And I took advantage of it because New York is hot as hell.
Yep.
We're going to come to this, and then we're going to follow you around and do a special.
Well, and we heard on the 4th of July, because her sister ran a 3K? Mm-hmm.
Or she ran a 5K.
She ran a 5K.
At Governor's Island.
I have no idea.
It's like you have to take a boat to get out. Yeah. It's around the Statue of Liberty.
All right. Yeah.
So she ran it, and she like ended up getting really sick because it was so hot.
She almost died.
Yeah, it was like super
humidity. She said it was like crazy. She almost passed out.
That's crazy.
This is saying, and this, I don't know who this guy is, but it's the Major League Eating MC, Sam Barclay. You know,
very nice man from Australia.
Okay. He's saying that hand speed will be key. Capacity will be a challenge, and every eater's ability to overcome their dairy tolerance.
Well, and you're fine with dairy because you practice that, right?
Oh yeah, I love dairy.
But like with the cheese curd, they don't. They're just dense. It's not gonna.
Well, it's the stem that rises to the top of the process.
Yeah. So
let's
like
Google image it, cheese
curds. That's so weird. So, but it's not gonna like, you know how some stuff in your food when it gets mixed with saliva and stuff is smaller and it like is more compact.
I think it's just Does it get bigger? I don't think it gets bigger.
I think it just stays exactly where it is.
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a lot of acid to get through it.
See, but all these ones look like they're eating...
Fried ones.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah.
I love cheese, but that...
Why does it look wet?
They're wet when they package them and shit.
Yeah.
I always swear on the podcast. It's fine. But see, I'm used to the ones that you get at like Buffalo Wild Wings that are fried.
They're good.
But those aren't real cheese curds. Yeah. I want you to go to Wisconsin and have a real cheese curd. They're so good.
No, we're going.
There's this
we're
place.
It's supposed to squeak, right?
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Is that going to throw you off your game with the squeaking?
It's so noisy. But there's this place across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. It's called Curly's. It's been there for insane amount of years.
Yeah.
And it's just like this little diner type thing that's been there for forever. It's so good. They have like really, but I mean, it's like Wisconsin good food, you know, but their cheese curds are just, you can either get white cheddar or you can get yellow cheddar, and they're just hands down that I could go in there and just have buckets.
So you're from there.
My dad is from Green Bay. Yeah. So I would go back there all the time when I was little. And so I'm just like, but I'm always telling people like, go to Applebee's and get cheese curds. Those are not cheese curds. Go to Buffalo Wild Wings for cheese curds.
Well,
not
good.
Cheese curds. They are good. They are good.
So my question is, will they be, because like when you get them at a restaurant, they're warm
the fried
and
ones.
they're like melty. Yep. So these ones are not going to be.
I have no idea. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
How do you not know these things? You do.
It's more than a month away.
Okay.
I have two contests before then.
Yeah. What's the one on Sunday?
Yes.
This Sunday will be pizza in Toronto.
Ooh.
We're outside of Toronto, Vaughan, I think. But
pizza.
There's a pizza festival.
Is it any kind of pizza? Is it just going to be straight cheese pizza?
It's
going to
be cheese pizza and, no, or is it margarita? Margarita. A margarita. Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah,
it is good. Very good.
Because there's no sauce.
Yeah.
And it'll be, what else is it?
Where are you going?
Yeah. They're small pizza. They're like eight inch diameter. I'll have one too.
That's what I was going for. Keep going.
Yeah, so a 10-minute contest, and I'm undefeated in pizza, so we'll see if that
are
holds.
You? How many pizza competitions have you done?
I've only done two.
He's undefeated.
No,
with
three,
two.
Three. Three. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's been
three
a while.
Three pizza competitions.
But it's been a couple years.
And since you've done pizza?
Yeah, I missed the last one. Ooh. So I got to go against the guy who won the last one.
Okay, all right. So you're doing that one, and then what's the one after that before our cheese curds?
After that, then I do ice cream in Indianapolis.
How's ice cream's hard. We talked
ice
about this
very
earlier.
Hard.
Yeah.
It sucks. Well,
it's so cold.
It's so cold. It hurts your throat. Mm-hmm. Hurts everything.
Yeah. I remember, it's in the fridge. I remember that I was watching, remember when MTV used to do like the I'm a blank
competitive eater. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They did I'm a competitive eater. True life. Exactly. Thank you.
I remember when they were filming that. Right? That started filming my first year.
Okay.
And they were following around Tim Janis.
Yes.
Eater X.
So I remember watching him, and like he went to that like some Asian restaurant, and the last thing he finished with was the spicy ice stuff.
I remember. Yeah.
Like it was like an ice tower, and it was all hot.
That was Kobayashi. Yeah. That crazy little man.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that insane? Like, I don't understand. So it's cold, but it's also spicy, so it's hot. So that's something that he was training with.
I don't know how he trains. He's a crazy little man. But, the cold's definitely harder on the body just because cold will change your body temperature.
Yeah.
Last time I did ice cream and was in Florida, and it was super hot outside. And I was really cold by the end of it because my stomach was like a radiator.
Yeah.
And cold ice. I did almost 2 gallons of cold ice cream, and I was pretty much shivering afterwards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So we printed out a list of your world eating records, and there's 3 pages worth of different foods here.
It's a record of records.
If you want to see them, you go to his website, which
is not actually accurate.
There's a couple errors, just like any website.
Oh, we don't have any.
No,
we don't have any.
There's
on
no
sideline
errors. Sideline.
There's a T when you spell chestnut.
Oh, I know, I never write it in there, but it has your website, and I'm going to find it in a minute. But anyways, I want to ask, which is the one that you're most proud of? And you can't say the hot dog one, because
right,
that's
say
like
hot
world
dogs.
Champion.
Oh,
so
my God. That was a fun one. There were some fun ones.
Is the apple pie one good?
Apple pie was great.
They
made really
pie.
It was like fresh apple pie at this little orchard in
it was
Ohio.
Fresh. Oh my god.
And it was so sweet.
What about
gyoza's actually really
I was
good.
Actually gonna ask you about that because I love gyoza.
Ooh, I gyoza. Love gyoza.
And I'm like a gyoza connoisseur now.
Ooh.
Oh, the daily gyoza.
What do they put in it?
This one
is
was,
it a vegetable or a chicken?
This one I think it was
pork.
It doesn't say, so
I wanna say it was pork and vegetable.
So you're saying 384 of them.
Yeah.
And how many, you're not eating them one at a time, so how many are going in at once?
Well, in the beginning, I'm taking 3 at a time, but at the end, I'm doing one, I gotta chew a little bit, because they're a little bit crispy, and the way they fry it, they're like, a good gyoza, it's a combination of fried and steamed.
Yeah.
It's
so good. I love when they have that little crispy on the end.
It's so weird, because when I started eating them, years and years ago, I didn't know what the heck they were.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to pronounce them. I was like, oh, gyoza? I was such a white guy.
It does take a while.
And then I love them so much. Now I went to Japan and I went to, like, they have a museum for their ramen, and each ramen place has their own gyoza. And,
gosh.
I had a ton of gyoza.
We found it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful website.
It's very aesthetically pleasing. It's not accurate,
to the eye.
Apparently. It's joeychestnut.com, which I should have figured that out. And then when are the foods going to be available? I mean, we're seeing some...
So they're available online. We have 2 different mustards.
Do you have them in your fridge right now?
I have all of them. I can't believe I didn't bring them.
I'm so disappointed because I really wanted to record a tasting of them, so we could describe.
And I have hot dogs. We could have brought.
Oh my god!
It's just a fail.
I prepared here because I brought saltines.
You told me what to bring.
I brought saltines for a challenge.
You told me to bring the belt. I brought the belt.
I know, but I felt like that was a big ask. By the way, this entire podcast has been recorded with me wearing the champion belt.
Nathan's famous hot dogs champion.
It's around my waist.
The 2018. He didn't bring the old one.
It's did not bring your old one.
You brought
That's okay.
Brand.
This is the one
Somebody
that we just
in San Jose has an old one.
Hey,
we won't go there.
If you have it, bring it back. Bring it back. We want it back.
We'll meet you at the den.
But you can buy his sauce on the website. There's a deli style picnic mustard.
Yeah, and it's being picked up by more Targets. All of Indiana. It's available. And
I love Indiana.
Indiana's showing love.
They must
in
love
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and Kentucky loves you because they claim you on your Wikipedia page.
Somebody changed it, and it can't be changed back.
I thought
back.
You were
I've
so
tried.
Much cooler because you were born in Kentucky. Yeah. And I found out that wasn't true. And
I love
like,
my bourbon.
Vallejo. But I did think it's cool that you're a Bay Area guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
and you stuck
Bay
around
Bay.
Here. And you went to San Jose State, so shout out Spartans.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That good old engineering degree, yeah?
Oh, my God. Like
putting it to
anymore.
Good use. Putting it to good use.
No, I find a way to put things, make things fit.
It's like Tetris in your body.
Tetris in my body.
Which is fun.
But I do miss using it. I used to work in construction.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about your jobs before.
I miss working.
His life before is just
when did you? Because when did you give up like work for full time?
Oh my God, 2010.
Okay.
Oh, so it took a little bit.
It took a while, and then eventually I got an offer from Pepto-Bismol to do a weekend. Oh, they wanted me to leave on Wednesday for like 5 weeks straight.
Mm-hmm.
And come back on Sunday, so it was pretty hard for me to take that much time off work.
Yeah.
Every week, so my bosses told me, "Hey, just take a break." And
then you never came back.
Never came
they
back.
Probably thought it was so cool though that you were
sure.
not in there and like
they were awesome.
So do you have sponsorships now? Like, currently have sponsors, and who are they? Let's shout them out. Maybe they'll sponsor Sideline Sacks.
This is for something later. But.
Wow.
It's not for you.
Who's the other food guy coming?
No,
food guy coming.
You're not telling me?
No, it's for you. Just keep going.
All right. Yeah. So biggest sponsor by far is Nathan's. They've shown me good love, and I love hot dogs, and it works well.
Clearly.
So what do you get sponsorship wise? Not money, but do they send you hot dogs?
Absolutely.
Do you have lifelong supply?
Well, yeah.
Nathan starts producing new products too, and so I get to take. They'll send me out their new products.
Oh, that's
cool.
If
you look at their website, they have like a chili and a cheese that you can warm up. The cheese is actually really good. It's pretty addictive.
So are they just making foods that go really good on hot dogs?
Not just that, but they also make a bagel dog.
Ooh.
The bagel dogs are really good.
Different kinds of bagels on the outside. So like, is there an everything?
No,
one?
That's a great idea.
You should pitch. Oh,
damn.
Dang it.
Nobody knows more about food than me.
Like, a variety bagel pack. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I love onion.
I love onion.
An onion bagel is really good. Everything.
My favorite bagel.
And you can drip and get a cream cheese.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Stop. I'm, like, so hungry right now.
I just found the salt bagels. I love salt.
They're good.
Salt bagels are so good.
They're a good alternative if you can't get plain.
And and you would never think that, like, just salt bagel would be good. It's so good. You have to try it. It's really good.
The pretzel bagels are really good.
The pretzel bagels.
I love it.
Like Asiago.
Oh, I love Asiago. Or jalapeno cheese.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're done.
Okay, so this is the thing is I'm talking about being prepared. I brought saltines because we want to see you do the saltine challenge.
You want to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then the other thing is...
Now my mouth is all watering.
Do you see what these are? These are donut holes.
Donut holes.
This was Kaylee's idea.
Yeah.
We wanted to get your advice. We wanted to, like, if you're trying to train somebody and you're trying to teach them how you eat...
You're coaching.
Like, what advice and, like, what would you coach an amateur... on how to eat something quickly and effectively. And then we're going to take that information, and Kaylee and I are going to see
compete.
How many we can eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it's the easiest always to eat food you like.
Yeah.
Donuts.
She picked the donut holes. I was trying to say, what did I say? I was like...
I don't know, but what you said, I was just like, no.
She was like, no.
I was like, there's no way.
So
right.
she picked
I can't
donut
remember
holes.
What
so
you
that's,
said.
That's a fair.
Yeah.
So with donut holes, you'd squeeze them in your hand a little bit.
What?
To get them small.
You squeeze them because your jaws are going to do a lot of work. You're going to try to break them up a little bit.
You could swallow these whole.
You can't swallow them whole because they're a little bit rough on the outside. The sugar.
I guarantee I can swallow this.
You can swallow one whole, but then
it's going to hurt
the next one, it stresses out the muscles.
Okay.
And then so you're going to eat with one hand most likely, and then drink water with the other hand.
Or beer.
Which is not going to be good.
And you want to just keep chewing. Chew.
You have to chew them all up. I can't just swallow them.
It doesn't look like I'm chewing, but I am chewing a lot.
Okay.
I'm chewing. I'll bite my tongue a lot during the contest.
So your jaw muscles are just... Okay, so for someone who has TMJ, am I in trouble?
No, you just don't get lazy. Just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
And
okay.
Yeah, it's don't overstuff your mouth. You want to keep things moving out.
Oh, that's smart.
You swallow with a sense of urgency.
Most people just start throwing it all in their mouth and try to bite it.
You overstuff your mouth, and not only is your mouth too stuffed to swallow, but then it's hard to even breathe.
Yeah.
And then once you can't breathe, then you're useless.
Then you die.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Then you did.
On that note, let's take a pause.
I do want to ask one more thing because I was just thinking that people on the podcast are probably really interested in knowing this.
Yes.
And we talked about it before the podcast, but didn't ask him on there. So how did you get your Joey Jaws nickname?
Your Twitter handle.
The best female competitive eater ever gave it to me. Sonia the Black. Well, you're... serious.
You're going to be really impressed by how much I eat.
Sonia's an amazing eater. Like, her record for hot dogs is 47.
Oh, wow.
And she's a beast.
Yeah.
And so she gave me my first year competitive.
She just called you that? She was just like, we should call you Joey Jaws.
She I don't know how she did it.
How do you not remember that? It's like an epic moment.
And she used to run a website. And
she's just typed it out or said it.
It came out on a website.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's the worst nickname you've ever gotten from someone online?
Oh, my God.
Do you get a lot of inappropriate,
of course.
Comments?
Yeah,
of
or
course.
Names. Yeah.
If you eat wieners and buns for a living, you're going to get a lot of... You're going to get some inappropriate stuff. Which is all right. I'm lighthearted. And I can take it.
Well, what's a weird one?
I don't know.
I like the one he said earlier. Put it down. Or maybe you said it. Put it down your gullet.
I said that.
Slide it down your gullet.
There's nothing. If they
Shark? Or
I don't know. They haven't called me that many weird names. Usually they know me by Joey or Jaws.
Joseph.
Sometimes they literally just call me Jaws.
Christian, right?
Christian.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nice boy name.
It's so normal,
All American.
Weirdest, awesomest career ever.
Yes. Okay, now we can pause.
We're going to take a pause. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back with a saltine challenge that I have to see you do because I've lost faith in it. And then we're going to
Emily and I are going head to head against glazed donut holes.
It's going to be epic. Okay, we are back with our second guest of this food-centric podcast where food and sports combine.
Ooh,
we're just going to clear the donut hole dust out of our throats here. And,
it was a lot.
We're going to welcome Kevin Gemmel on the podcast. This is my best friend, one of my best guy friends, and we have been college football, writers. He more so than I together. We met on the trail, and Kevin has had writing stops at many places, and now he is currently working as a senior content writer at ChefWorks. So he switched from sports to the food industry, and we thought this would be a perfect podcast to get him on. So welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. I feel like I can bring a little sweet and savory to the staff.
Ooh,
there
I
you
like
go.
It.
That is pretty good. How long have you been waiting to say that?
when did you come up with that?
A good 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
A good 6 months or so. Just been in my back pocket.
There we go.
I like it. He's always prepared.
That is actually the best way to describe Kevin. This is a guy, when I sat next to him in the press box for the first time in Utah, he's pulling out recorder, his pen, his backup pen, his pencil, notebooks. And if you needed something.
And always one in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
Always
one behind the ear. That's right.
See, and that would have been perfect. You know how many times Emily and I have been somewhere covering a game and I'm I will forget the most important thing. One time we had a camera and I forgot an SD card. How do you forget an SD? You can't record anything without an SD card. We literally had to ask one of the Cal photographers if we could borrow an SD card. And thank goodness he had one. So I borrowed it. And I hope he's not listening, but I have no idea where that is.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So sorry.
Don't borrow anything from us.
Anyway. So, Kevin, I would love to understand, you work for ChefWorks. What does your job entail?
Yes.
Well, right now I am sort of the written voice for this company, and we're the largest in the world at what we do. We make chef coats, aprons, all that good stuff. But what my focus is on a lot of the celebrity chefs who wear our gear from a marketing standpoint, and I do a lot of feature stories on them for our website. you know, when the James Beard winners were announced, for example, that's the highest honor in the restaurant industry. I got to interview some of them. If you watch the Food Network, you're going to see our gear all over. Guy Fieri wears our stuff, Jet Tila, a lot of those TV celebrity chefs. So my involvement is strictly from a writing standpoint. How can we market this, this product that we have to a lot of these celebrity chefs? And then I get to write stories about them. So I've gone from celebrity athletes to celebrity chefs, and personality-wise, there's not a big difference between the two.
I would think not. And I got to say that nobody conducts an interview like Kevin Gemmel. Ooh. I learned everything about asking questions from him, and I've sat in on many of his interviews with Jim Mora and, you know, Justin Wilcox and all these people, and you do quite the interview, Kevin. So,
well, people love to talk. And
about themselves.
That's right. The best reporters are the ones who stay quiet. And I'm very good at staying quiet, and I just let people talk. And, you know, for 20 plus years, it served me well in sports, and now it's continuing to serve me well in the food industry.
That's awesome. I have to say that I've perused the website. Obviously, I read your stories, but I also was curious about, you know, what else is on there. And it is some pretty sharp gear, like the suspenders and the bow ties and like the way they accent the stuff. And they showcase it. It's neat.
It is very fashion forward. Mm-hmm. And I think what started in maybe the early 2000s with sort of the rise of the celebrity chef, they wanted to start having their own brand and their own image. And the nice thing about this company is we've always been sort of ahead of the trends before they start. So you take, for example, a chef like Jet Tila. I don't know if you're familiar with him or his work. He's now the floor reporter on Iron Chef America. He's celebrity chef, restaurateur. He lives and dies by our gear. I had a great conversation with him about a week ago talking about how his brand is very street-centric. He grew up in L.A., and he's sort of seen the evolution of chef gear from when they had to wear the stuffy, uncomfortable shirts. Now it's very hip. It's very modern. It's very edgy. Katsui Tanabe is another guy who wears our stuff. John Tassar, both those guys were on Top Chef. So it's definitely more than just presenting food. You're telling a story with how you look, how your staff looks. We do front of the house stuff as well. So it's definitely a brand image that we're selling.
Well, speaking of creating an image and styling a brand, we're just joined here now by Joey Chestnut again because we can't get rid of him. So he's back.
I don't know what style I have.
And I was thinking, Kevin, maybe you could help Mr. Joey Jaws.
Yeah, what? So first, do each of these chefs, celebrity chefs, kind of design their own? Like, do they have their own kind of style, and are there different lines?
They absolutely are. They have a look that they're going for, and we can help them with that, sort of find what they're looking for. Joey, I would definitely say you are an apron guy.
Oh.
Get my information from Emily afterwards. We'll hook you up with one of our Berkeley aprons.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's durable. It's 100% cotton denim. It looks sharp, and you're going to look good in every competition.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds nice.
I want the suspenders for him, though.
Yeah. He could do some suspenders, too.
Our Berkeley apron. It's all suspenders. We actually have a competitive oyster shucker who wears our gear out on the East Coast. So we're no stranger to the competition scene either.
Ooh, I like it. All right. So we're pulling up your website.
Yeah.
So that we can take a look at what you're talking about while we do this. So each of these, let's see, what were you talking about?
What's that traditional chef pant they wear? It's almost like a seersucker, but it's like...
That would be the toque.
The toque.
Yeah, the toque. And believe it or not, that dates back to 16th century.
The baggy one. The striped. I know.
Yeah. It was a status symbol. Like the higher the toque, the more popular the chef was.
Wow, really?
Awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah, you wouldn't think there's much history behind these pants.
As Emily will tell you, I do my research, and the full culinary outfit goes back to the 1600s, starting with French pastry. pastry chefs and then on to French chefs. And I've learned all about it since I started in November. Like I said, it's like any beat you go on, whether you're covering baseball, whether you're covering football, you learn about your beat, you learn the history of it, and then you learn who sort of the key decision makers are, and you let them do the talking.
Does Bobby Flay wear ChefWorks?
Bobby does not. Well, actually, I take that back. If you watch Beat Bobby Flay, he does wear sort of our waist aprons every once in a while.
Yeah.
They're not styled for him. They're just sort of our generic aprons, but they do wear them. Also, guys' grocery games.
Yep.
Those black aprons that you're wearing, that's our stuff.
Wow.
Jet Thiele and his wife were actually on guys' grocery games for the Valentine's Day episode, and they were both wearing our Berkeley aprons with the suspenders, and they looked sharp as heck.
Do you get to go to these, like, these, you know, Food Network games or challenges or anything?
I haven't been to those yet, but we get to go to food and wine festivals, which is a lot of fun because we do sponsorship of a lot of these. We are the official culinary sponsor for a lot of the major food and wine festivals around the country. We've got LA coming up in a couple of weeks, so we'll be out at that. And
Pebble Beach.
Yeah, we were out at Pebble Beach. That was another one that we were sponsored for. Nantucket Food and Wine, Hawaii Food and Wine, Miami Beach Food and Wine, all these pretty much the major ones in the country, New York. We get out there, and we are the apparel sponsor, so all the chefs are wearing our stuff when they're there.
So is this like, let's say I go on the website, and I'm looking at these, you know, chef coats, and it says executive chef coat. And
yep.
I'm not a chef, but I want to buy one. I mean, do you need, like, a special card? Do you have to, like, prove that you're a chef, or can you just anyone buy it?
Well, what you need is either a Visa or an American Express card.
Either of those
will work. Now, there's a number that you're going to need to punch in and an expiration date. But once you do that, you're golden.
You're a chef now, baby.
I just feel like I'm going to
like it. You don't need any sort of I'm a legit chef code.
No.
This is better. This is a good Halloween costume.
I've got a coat for my 7-year-old.
So I could, like, do a corner street hot dog thing with an executive chef outfit.
I think you would look sharp as hell if you were on a street corner wearing a chef work chef coat. Without
question. That'd be sweet.
Just doing bacon dogs.
Bacon wrapped hot dogs. Yeah.
Cooked on a
cookie sheet.
See, then we'd have to get you the
and
urban.
And you know what?
The urban line.
We
like
actually
these
have
urban
what's
aprons.
Called a cool vent line, which is breathable, moisture wicking fabric.
Mm.
So if you're going to be working outdoors, that's the kind of chef coat you want. Something's going to breathe with you. Something's going to be comfortable. So I would recommend cool vent.
Yeah.
The cool vent.
The girls modeling your Berkeley line look pretty good. No, it looks like a comfortable outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what he meant.
That's what you meant.
No, it's like a skirt that's also a thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a waist apron.
It's a skirt. Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, with the, since we're talking the Berkeley, they've got interchangeable suspender colors. There are 324 combinations.
Oh, wow. 324.
Mm-hmm.
I just pulled these up, and, yeah, that's exactly what I want.
But you know what, talking, if you want to tie it back to football, ironically enough, we have the Berkeley, we have the Corvallis, we have the Boulder.
Oh, that's so funny.
So we are hitting the Pac-12 cities.
You need to get to Stanford, then you can have the big game.
The
I
big
know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I personally wear the Corvallis when I'm barbecuing at home.
Nice.
So what is the best meal or food or drink or whatever that you've had since you've been on the job? Because I know we've had a lot of good press box meals personally, so I'm just curious if any
sure.
of this chef stuff can hold a candle.
Honestly, I did a story on a baker because I try and mix in sort of the everyday people as well as celebrity chefs. In the stories that I do, I did a story on a baker in Kentucky, and he sent us these cookies that literally arrived today. And I was handing them out to everyone in the department, and these things were like little bites of heaven. They were just unbelievable. So yeah, you can have a good savory meal and, you know, try some good wine, and that's all fun, but, you know, nothing beats a good cookie. just a good solid cookie.
Yeah, I could for sure get on board with that. Like you said that Emily loves cake. I am a cookie fan.
I love cake.
For sure. But we have to hear this.
Emily had...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were in, this probably would have been 2013, something like that, Holiday Bowl. And we're just kind of cruising around downtown San Diego before the game starts. And we found this bakery, and they had cake in a cup. And you have never seen someone be so excited over pastry in plastic as she was. And she was like, I am going to take this thing. I'm not going to eat it now. I'm going to eat it in the press box.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring this with me to the game tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have it while we're in the... And sure enough, it's halftime and everyone's eating, you know, crappy press box meal of, you know, hot dog and baked beans. No offense, Joey. hot dogs and, you know, baked beans or whatever. And here's Emily. She pulls out her bag and all eyes were on her mm-hmm. and her cake in her cup. And she was just the happiest girl in the world.
Yeah, well, that cake in the cup... did better on Twitter than the game. So,
oh my gosh.
It's a brilliant concept. So, why wouldn't you do it?
Well, I want to hear. We're looking at Joey's like world eating records, which are just like extensive and ridiculous. And I don't see any cookies on here.
I don't think I've done cookies.
You've never eaten
the closest. The closest to cookies is maybe.
I see glazed donuts.
Glazed donuts and Twinkies. I've done Twinkies, 121
yeah.
Twinkies.
Yeah. Kevin, how many Twinkies do you think that Joey ate in, I'll give you 6 minutes. How many do you think he ate?
In 6 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, is there a water dunking process also?
There's
like
no dunking in this one, no. It's
no
pure,
dunking, okay.
A little bit of mash, I squeeze them together a little bit. But, yeah, no dunking.
Okay, that's little mashup.
A little pre-mastication.
I'm going to say 70 in 6 minutes.
Okay, that's respectable.
That's not bad.
How many did you do, Joey?
121.
All right, well, there you go.
That's all right.
Can you even imagine?
Are there, like, bakeries that make gourmet Twinkies? Like, it'd be awesome to, some of the junk food, just to recreate it super. Like, because I know you go to Starbucks, and they have... these really good peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's like places that deep fry everything. You go back and you find some of your favorite candies from a kid, and you can buy Twinkies and they deep fry them, or they'll deep fry peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for you. That's definitely a trend.
Yeah. What? Wow, deep fried peanut butter and jelly.
Can you find one of those in San Francisco for us, Kevin?
I'll look it up and I'll let you guys know.
What the heck? How does the jelly stay like good?
I don't know. Will's
amazing.
Well, that was the Elvis Presley special. The it was peanut butter and banana fried.
Oh.
That was Elvis Presley's
thing.
Well,
he would fry them too?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's the king.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say that.
That's why he's the king. Yeah. Well said.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit, like, obviously, you know, you are still infamous in the sports world, and I know I got into sports writing because of Kevin's articles. Like, his articles were the things that I read, you know, when I was starting out. And I remember sitting next to him in the press box and just, like, shaking me, like, oh, my God, this is, like, my idol. I'm going to go say hi and
please.
Embarrass myself.
But,
please. You obviously still keep up with it on Twitter and whatnot. So, you know, why don't you talk about what the transition's been like from sports to the food industry? And I know one thing's the same with the stuff with women, so maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
It's funny that you bring that up, actually. I've got a story that, depending on when your podcast comes out, that is going up on Friday the 13th, as a matter of fact. One of the conferences that we sponsor is Women Chefs and Restaurateurs, and they had their national conference in April, and obviously in light of the Me Too movement, the restaurant industry, as we all know, is one that has been swept up in that movement as well. So one of the stories I got to do, which I'm really proud of, was some of the issues that women face in the restaurant industry. And while Me Too has been helpful to shine a light on sexual misconduct, it's also brought about a lot bigger issues, or I shouldn't say bigger, a lot more issues that people don't necessarily recognize, whether we're talking about equal pay, whether we're talking about financing for women to start their own restaurants. One of the women I spoke with was Amanda Cohen, who runs Dirt Candy in New York. It's a vegan restaurant, so I probably wouldn't eat there since I'm a carnivore, but it's the only Michelin-starred vegan restaurant in New York.
Wow.
She's a phenomenal chef. She's a James Beard nominee. She might be a James Beard winner. I'm not 100% sure on that. But she was saying, you know, how hard it is for restaurants to get startups because startup money from investors. Because first, you need the media attention. You need to be nominated for awards. Mm-hmm. And most of the women, it's been dramatically skewed in the last 50 years since they've been doing it. Only now are we starting to see some of these issues. I think of the James Beard Award this year, 11 of the 18 major winners were either women or minorities, which is a huge shift. So we're seeing the Me Too movement bring about some other issues that have been plaguing women in this industry for so long. So it was a really interesting story to write. It's unlike anything I've ever done before. Talking with these women was incredible, and I'll make sure to send you guys the story so you can
read
it.
Absolutely. That's incredible, and mm-hmm. that's really good to hear.
Yeah, which is kind of strange that you would think, you know, that they have such a hard time in that industry, seeing as how, like, most people, most men are like, oh, women belong in the kitchen, you know, and people always assume like that females are really good at cooking and they're always going to cook meals and stuff. So it's kind of weird that when it comes to higher end or even just like restaurants and business in general, that people think that, I don't know, Joey has a weird look on his face.
I have a lot of friends who I've been in a lot of kitchens, and it's a rough workplace.
Yeah.
And I could see it being a rough workplace for women. It's like a construction job site. Guys, you're talking about your guys bussing tables and washing dishes, and there's crude jokes and
like a locker room.
It's locker room, but it's a locker room talk where women are working there, and it's not a.
That's fair.
So the things will have to change. I can definitely see how the Me Too movement will affect the kitchens.
You know, it's funny. I talked to a woman named Gail Gand. And Gail was the first woman to ever have a show of her own on the Food Network in the early 2000s. She's a two-time James Beard winner. Her parents spelled her name G-A-L-E, like a man. So when she was first starting out in the 70s, she wrote a letter to this restaurant in France, one of the most famous restaurants, and the name escapes me right now because it's very Parisian, and I couldn't pronounce it even if I tried to. And she asked, can I come and study there? And they instantly assumed that she was a man because of the spelling of her name. And so she gets there in the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere around there, and they take a look at her and they say, no, absolutely not. So she sits in a corner and she finds the guy who's peeling potatoes. And she says, hey, you know what? Go do something else. Let me peel your potatoes. And he says, fine, okay, sure. And so she starts peeling the potatoes. And then she finds the next guy who has to cut carrots. And she says, hey, let me go cut your carrots. Fine. So she was doing all the grunge work for everyone else, and eventually it took her a week or so of just doing that, but eventually they started to respect that she could do the job. And it shouldn't be like that, but when you talk about pioneers and women who sort of had to go through that process in order to pave the way, Gail Gand is one of them. And hearing her stories and hearing her perspective coming up in the industry, and when she finally won that first James Beard Award, what it meant, it was really fantastic to hear, and really a trailblazer in the industry.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It is.
I am going to change gears because I love hearing about women and stuff, but I have to bring up this story, Kevin, because, I mean, it needs to be told.
What did Kevin do?
One time when Kevin grew up in the Bay Area, okay? He, I can't remember the name of the high school you went to, though.
Middy.
It was Middy.
Oh,
yeah.
You went to Middy?
He did go to Middy. Oh. He was a very good football
WCAL,
player.
WCAL, shout out.
No, I was not a very good football player.
You were good enough because one
football.
Time you sacked Tom Brady.
One time. I did sack Tom Brady one time.
Ooh, your claim to fame.
It is my favorite story. That's pretty much all I know about it.
So you were playing Sarah and you
Yeah,
sacked
we were
Tom
playing
Brady.
Sarah. Would have been my junior year. It was a horrible, horrible rainstorm, and we were killing them.
Was
it was
at
something.
Middy?
Final score. No, it was at Sarah. Mm-hmm. And the final score was something like 45-7. And it was like in the third quarter, and I was on a backside blitz, and I sacked him. And whatever, okay. And I just remember when he the next year he signed with Michigan, and everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, well, of course his stats are going to be great. Sarah's terrible. Mm-hmm. They're always behind 45-7, so they're constantly throwing the ball. This guy's all inflated, all stats. And yeah, obviously that turned out differently.
Yeah,
so
a little bit.
He turned out to be a pretty good quarterback from what I understand.
So you've seen, you know, what's going on with the Pac-12 this year, and I'm actually in the midst of needing to finish a Pac-12 preview tonight that is due. So that'll be up tomorrow, shout out. But I know you've seen the Herm Edwards hire, and you've seen the stuff with Mike Leach. What are your thoughts on what the Pac-12 is going to look like this year?
I think at the top of the conference, we're going to see what we've been seeing, which is Stanford, Washington, in the north. I don't think Oregon's there yet, just from what I saw of them last year. First-year coaches, I don't care if they've been around for a while. It takes a little bit of a transition. In the south, I mean, I think USC is still the team to beat right now, but mm-hmm. I think the quarterback situation at both USC and UCLA is going to be really interesting the post-Josh Rosen, post-Sam Darnold era. So I think that's probably the biggest storyline to keep an eye on right now. But also Washington, I want to see if they can get over that hump and get to a national championship game.
I think if any year, it's this year, they're going to be in the college football playoff. I mean, they returned 16 starters.
You would think this is the year.
Jake Browning.
But, yeah, Browning, Gaskin? Trey Adams. Yeah, the pieces are in place for them to make a run at it. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they can. But, I mean, Stanford's going to do what Stanford does, which is play solid defense, run the ball 90 times, you know, power right 50 times in a row until you stop it, then they'll run power left. Good offensive line. They're going to grind it down. So I think, once again, it's going to be that Stanford-Washington battle in the north. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
It'll definitely be interesting. I obviously, as you know, have no faith in Stanford anymore. And I think this year their defense is decimated. They lost, like, everybody that was good. And it's going to be interesting because I literally read somewhere, and I'm not kidding you, somebody compared this year's Stanford team to the Andrew Luck era of teams. And I was like, how?
I think back to that 2011 team, and I think about how close that team was to go into the BCS championship game.
Yeah.
You go back to that triple overtime game at USC when they gutted out that win. That might be, outside of the USC-Texas national championship game, that USC-Stanford game might have been the most exciting game I've covered in terms of regular season game.
It was great. And the players on those teams were phenomenal, but I don't see how KJ Costello leads an offense like that. Yes, the receivers are great. Arcega Whiteside, you know, Trenton Irwin, and you've got Bryce Love, you know, as the back, but Costello is nowhere near that. So how can you have that similarity when you don't have a commander, you know?
And also you look at that 2011 team, you had the three tight ends. You had Ertz, Troy Lolo, and Kobe Fleener. So you had a very unusual passing attack that was difficult to defend. I think Ty Montgomery, that might have been his freshman year. And then Chris Owusu was on the other side. But you looked at the running game that they had. It wasn't just one guy. Stephon Taylor was kind of the workhorse, but they also had Anthony Wilkerson and Tyler Gaffney and Jeremy Stewart at the goal line. So they were given the ball to a lot of different guys. Yeah, he was a goal line monster. So they were given the ball to a lot of different guys, and it wasn't one guy necessarily grinding out, you know, 45 carries per game.
You're right, but it was also like more creative play calling, less conservative BS, and there was just more like risk-taking and more faith in individual players. And I think at this point where we're at with Stanford, I feel – that there's just, it's so boring and predictable and not exciting.
Well, I think by the time Andrew was a senior, he knew the playbook inside and out. and they could do a lot more with him, and he saw a lot more at the line. He could audible out, he could check it out of it. So when you have a quarterback who doesn't necessarily have the breadth of knowledge in the playbook, there's only so much you can do with it. So I think it's not necessarily that the play calling isn't creative. I think it's just limited until we really see what he can do and how he can open it up a little bit more.
I guess. I think you're being nice. But that's fine.
I think I've always had more of an affinity of David Shaw as a play caller than you have.
I think so.
But that's also because he and I go back a lot longer, and I saw a lot of the stuff that he did when he was down here at non-scholarship USD football
true.
With him and
that's
Jim
true.
Harbaugh.
You do, yeah.
Lance.
Yeah.
That coaching staff, when you think about that, that was Harbaugh, that was Lance Anderson, that was David Shaw.
Yeah.
For a non-scholarship football team. Those guys have gone on to do pretty well.
They really have. It's, you know,
that was one of my first college football beats.
I know. That's why I like talking to you about, you know, Stanford, because you know these guys from prior stuff and then when you covered them. But I think it'll be interesting. The last thing I'm going to say about them is having Tavita Pritchard, you know, into the role that he's in now. I think a lot mm-hmm. of people were surprised, because not that he's not a great player, he was, and not that he's not a good guy on the sideline, but where has he been an offensive coordinator before? So
yeah,
that would be my – I felt bad for Blomgren, you know. Like, I don't think he did anything wrong per se. I just think he wasn't the guy that Shaw was looking for to be his kind of – I don't want to say yes man, because that sounds negative, but, you know, to be the guy that he could mold and overrule.
Well, Blom was always destined for a head coaching job
yeah.
elsewhere, I think. And so I think – you know, let's go back to that 2011 team when you had David Shaw calling the plays from the 30 to the 30, and then it gets inside the 30 and Pep Hamilton takes over. And say this about Pep Hamilton, he was a phenomenal red zone play caller.
Yeah.
And so I think when you had him sort of taking it over, and I think there was a little, at least from the times that I was covering them when Blom was the OC there, him and David Shaw sometimes had different opinions about what to do in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David Shaw is a very good play caller. I know you disagree. Yep. I happen to think
I'm not saying he's bad. I just say that he's not diverse.
What works at the 45 doesn't always work at the 10. And so there was some disagreement sometimes about what was going to happen in the red zone.
That is the best way to put it, I think. I will concede that.
And I know you mentioned Herm Edwards. I want to let you know I talked to Todd Graham actually a couple of weeks ago. He and I still keep in touch. And I got to tell you, the man has been nothing but unbelievably professional in the wake of a situation where he shouldn't have had to be.
Yeah. That's good
you
to
know,
hear.
I thought Todd.
Yeah.
What Todd Graham did with that team last year
mm-hmm.
to finish second in the South, one game away from going to the Pac-12 championship game with what they
yeah.
had, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know?
It's unbelievable
to me. I'm really fired up about Todd Graham being fired. And I told him, I said, I don't know how you're doing it. And, you know, he's been nothing but a pro. And I think that's just – he had a bad rap when he came from Pittsburgh because of the one-year thing. That always haunted him,
yeah.
that was always in the back of people's minds. And when he said ASU was his dream job and he's there for life, he really meant it. And one of the things I got to do when I was at ESPN, which was really cool, was spend a week with Todd Graham behind the scenes. I was at every player meeting. I was
yeah,
at every player dinner. The man is genuine
mm-hmm.
because he cannot put on that face and hold it for that long if he was being taken.
Yeah,
you
no,
he deserves an Academy Award if he really was acting that entire time. He is a greater actor than Tom Hanks.
Has he mentioned any plans, like what he's going to do? Or,
you know, no specific schools, but there's, you know, he wants to coach again, and I think he's got a good chance probably
yeah.
in December when the next cycle comes around. He'll be coaching again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was so shocking to me. I was
yeah.
just like, I couldn't. I was
I
just like, I mean, I get it, Herm, but like, why?
No,
I don't.
This you're talking about a school that is one of the number one party schools in the nation, where you have a lot of young people that's what the mentality is. I'm not saying that Todd was more in touch with it, but he was. But Herm is absolutely no shot at being in touch with that. 10 years removed from college coaching, however old he is, like, we all saw it in the press conference. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but is this really, like, we're all waiting for this to fail.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's going to be insane.
I think for sure. And it's so funny because it was obscure. It was so obscure when it happened that I still forget that he's that now he's the coach. Like, I still, every time somebody says that, I'm like, oh my, I almost like relive the shock over again. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, the moment I really liked Todd Graham as a coach, and Emily, I think you were there for this. This might have been the cake in a cup holiday bowl, as a matter of fact.
Probably.
ASU against Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's right.
It was. And ASU played by far their worst game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were terrible. Taylor Kelly was off. Jalen Strong wasn't catching anything. They couldn't punt to save their life. It really was a bad performance by the players. And Todd Graham stood up there and took every single shot and said, this is on me. This is on me. This is coach. You're not the one out there throwing picks and dropping balls. No, this is on me. I mean, he was a very classy coach in the fact that he never let his guys take the heat. Now in private, he might've grilled them, as any coach has the right to do, but publicly he never let them take the heat. And I think that was always the mark of a good coach. And I always had a lot of respect to him because that performance was terrible. It was horrific. They had lost the Pac-12 championship game, and they were cold for 3 weeks, and they come in, and it looked like they hadn't practiced.
Yeah,
I mean, Jalen was dropping everything. Yeah. Marion Grice had a bad game.
Yeah, that's right.
It was terrible. And he said, nope, it's me. It's on me. And I have a ton of respect for coaches that do that.
I do, too. And that was the first time I've ever heard a coach do that, because that was only like a year or two into my career, and I had never heard David Shaw do it, and I had mostly covered Stanford stuff, so it was kind of a cool moment to hear someone take responsibility like that in a tough situation when, you know, he could be looked at badly and he'd want to maybe make himself sound better. It was really cool. I'm glad you reminded me of that, because that's a good Todd Graham memory.
Well, David Shaw takes a lot of for the Wildcats.
Why'd you gotta ruin it like that, Kevin? Why do you gotta ruin it like that?
I'm not ever going to agree about David Shaw, and that is it.
So moving beyond, you know, Pac-12, which half of the country doesn't think is a real...
Most of the country doesn't think it's a real
conference. But what are you thinking nationally this year? Who do you think is going to be, you know, a standout team? Maybe not Alabama?
Always Alabama.
Always Alabama.
Well, you're sort of limiting my options.
Yeah, I know.
No,
right?
I mean, it's, you know what? It's the Blue Bloods. Whether it's Alabama or whether it's Clemson or whether it's Oklahoma, I mean, the way the college football system is set up, the Blue Bloods are always going to be successful. Yeah. You know, all you need to do is look at the funding from conference to conference and where the Pac-12 is compared to the rest of the other conferences and how far behind they are. I would like to see Michigan get back into the mix just because I like Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if they're ready to take that step yet, but, I mean, we're going to see the usual suspects when it comes around, and there's going to be a lot of fun debating and talking when the first playoff rankings are released in, you know, late October. And, well, what if this happens? What if this team be there? It's going to be the same teams because that's just how it always is.
And Washington.
Not to put a damper on, not that I'm – you know, been doing this for so long that I'm jaded, but it's just kind of
but
what
he
it
is. And
but I kind of am.
Is Little McCaffrey starting at Michigan as a quarterback?
Little McCaffrey.
What's his name, Luke?
None of them are
that
little.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I wonder if that
to be honest with you.
Well, what do you think? Do you think Georgia has a shot at being at the national championship again?
They got to beat Auburn. Again,
yeah,
they got to figure out a way to beat Auburn once or twice. You know, I read Emily's article on Yard Barker, and I thought she did a great job on some of the emerging rivalries. And I think that's a really fun one to keep an eye on is Auburn, Georgia. You know, a lot of people thought Auburn deserved a spot in the playoffs, having beaten Alabama and Georgia last year. So, I mean, the SEC really is where it's at when it comes to the quality of football. So any of those teams, I think, have a fighting chance.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see, you know, Emily and I are doing a huge college football trip this year. I should say, I don't even know if I can say it as one trip, or I mean, it's,
I think
it might as well be one trip, but it's like we're going somewhere almost every weekend. So we're going to have our hands full with covering. I mean, we'll be in Georgia for Middle Tennessee, Georgia. We'll be at ASU for Michigan State. We'll be, you know, we're all over the place this year. So we'll have to keep in contact with you so that we can figure out where we think the best.
I send Kevin all my articles before they go up.
Absolutely.
Kevin knows everything before it happens.
But did you send him our
I still do a little editing on the side for Emily, not gonna lie.
I was talking about the master list. You gotta send me the master list.
Yeah.
And in terms of the group of five, keep an eye on San Diego State.
Make
a trip down to Qualcomm. You know?
I do love a team that can beat Stanford. Didn't they beat Stanford?
Yeah, they did, but that was with Penny.
That's Pumphrey Penny. There's a dump. They're gonna Pumphrey have another too. One.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They pump them out. They pump those Pumphreys out.
When you look at what Rocky Long has done with that team,
yeah,
I mean, he's done just a fantastic job taking over for Brady Hoke when Brady left.
Oh, Brady.
It's a really good system that he's got in place there. So they're a fun team to watch. They're an entertaining team to watch. They play a really fun brand of football. Rocky Long is basically the godfather of the 3-3-5 defense. I don't know how much you've seen of it. Rich Rod used to run a little bit of it at ASU, but the 3-3-5 is very high risk, very high reward. You got a lot of blitzing come from a lot of obscure places. It's a very difficult defense to scheme. I think we saw it in 2016 when Cal came down, and Cal was trying to chuck the ball all over the place. And I think San Diego State had four interceptions in that game, maybe three or four interceptions. It was just, it's a tough, tough defense to go against if you haven't seen it. So keep an eye on those guys. They're going to make a little noise.
Good tip.
I like it.
I'll have to include them in my summer reading list that I'm doing right now. I'm doing it by conference, but I'm only doing, you know, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC. And so, but I have room for a, extra credit summer reading.
A potpourri.
Yes, an extra credit. So I'm going to throw, you know, Notre Dame will be in there. And so maybe we'll throw San Diego State in there and see what people think of that. So
I like it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Please do. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been, I mean, we always talked about podcasting together. So this has been a dream come true for me.
Well, we'll definitely have you on.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is the first of many first times. Of many, but we just had to get the first one out of the way. And it's always awkward.
It was
the first
perfect.
Time.
Food, football.
Yeah.
Food and football.
You know what? Next time we'll talk about stadium food, because there's a little bit of a revolution going on in stadium food
stadium
right now.
Stadium food.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah. Well, we asked Joey, like, oh, do you go to a game and, you know, eat? He's still here, but he can't hear you, but he can hear me. And I asked him, I said, do you go to a game and eat, you know, food at the game? Like do you eat hot dogs, or is that just like, no? And he literally said,
I don't eat just one hot dog.
So I said, how many hot dogs have you eaten at a baseball game? And he literally said,
I said, yeah, I don't eat just one hot dog. Oh, 27.
27.
At a Dodger game.
They had the all-you-can-eat stands. It made good sense.
I don't even know what
You know what?
Like the
all
you can eat section.
That's one for every out.
One for every out. I like it.
One for every out.
Yeah.
27 outs in a game, unless you're going extra innings.
That's crazy.
Every out. I dig that.
I ate probably a little bit more than I should have. I should have left some more room for beer.
More room for beer. Oh, God.
I love Joey. That's my kind of mentality.
So funny. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We love having you on. Like Emily said, it's the first of many, so be ready.
Thanks, guys. It was a blast. Joey, good talking to you. Emily, I'm glad we made the dream come true.
All right, so we just got done with Kevin. Awesome to have him on. We've obviously been talking about having him on for a long time now. Mm-hmm. He's so knowledgeable with college football. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy to me how he can just spit out names the way he does, because I'm like, oh, you know that one guy? Brett
that
Favre?
Plays there.
You know, like what?
No, he knows everybody, and he's been doing it so long that I don't know. His stories are amazing, and hopefully when we get him on later, he'll open up more about them, but he just knows so much. And I think when you get to that point, like you said, he's jaded, but he's also, like, infinitely more knowledgeable than we are, but we'll get there. You know, it's just
it takes years.
It does take time.
He's been doing this for a long time, and we don't have that many years under our belt yet. Speaking of belts.
Oh, look at that. That Joey Chestnut, huh?
Man, he's a wild one.
He brought the belt with him
to
the podcast, which is epic.
Yeah.
You'll see those pictures coming up on social.
Which you'll probably get sick of, but...
Yeah, I'll never, ever.
I won't, no.
He's such a good guy. Like, we've known him for a couple years now, and he's just, like, a regular dude. And,
we've been talking about how, like, when you and I mention him, people go apeshit.
Yeah, yeah.
People are just like, what?
Everyone tonight was like, you're podcasting with Joey Chestnut?
I'm like, yeah. The hot dog guy? Are you serious? Like, that's Joey. So cool. Like, and we're like, but it's just
I beat him
Joey.
In beer pong.
Like, we've outdrank him at bars.
Yeah, like he's just a normal guy that was from the Valley Joe and lives in San Jose. And,
exactly.
But no, he's actually a crazy competitive athlete. Like,
it was really,
real talk.
It was funny tonight. Because so when you asked me, like, do you think he'll do this saltine challenge? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, he's in the middle of competition. I was like, I don't think so. Like, I was like, no. Like, because, you know, guys like that. And he even says, well, I don't think he's... as much, but you get into like this training mode and you don't want to waver because you're invested in this stuff. And so when he is sitting here and he starts watching that video of the guy doing the saltine challenge, he was like, okay, well, I have to beat them. Like, he's so competitive,
he's very competitive,
which is really funny. But
and I think that's funny because his story of getting into it is so benign. Like, it's just, oh, my brother thought I was
lackluster. Is that a good word?
Yeah, it's just like, it's super like unassuming. Like, he just was sitting at a table eating. His brother's like, I'm going to enter you in a contest. Finally, he does it. And then all of a sudden, he like comes alive on the stage, you know? Like, he's just one of those people that, I don't know.
When he was talking about the fact that his very first competition was weird because it's weird for you to sit there and be eating and people telling you to eat more, it was I was like, well, that's kind of funny because that's what you're there for, you know?
Yeah.
But then when you and I were competing and he starts making comments, like, I could not stop laughing. So I can only imagine that there's probably people out in the Nathan's audience that are like, you're eating wieners. Take that wiener. Like, they're making comments that want to make you laugh.
Hard. Yeah.
So
well, like anyone would do at a baseball game or a football game, heckling.
The mental strength of that. I was thinking about that after our competition. I was just like, gosh, you have to be so mentally, like, strong in order to to get through that. That's
and in
crazy.
Case you didn't hear earlier, I think we talked about it in the last segment, but Joey did do the saltine challenge. And we're not going to tell you how many he ate in 60 seconds, but he did do it. And we're going to post that video on our social. So if you're curious, then you can go to Twitter, Instagram, and find that. And we also had a eat-off. Kaylee and I, we're not going to tell you what it was that we ate or who won, because you're going to have to go to social to find it. But Joey coached us.
He gave us some tips ahead of time.
Yep.
He timed us during
the
event.
He
officiated and he announced. And,
he was play-by-play. Like, he was great. So
was
if you want to see that video, definitely go to our social. It'll be up on our website. It'll be on Twitter, Instagram, and make sure you check that out, Sideline Sass.
All those places, like you know. So we're getting super amped up because, actually, I'm getting a little stressed. And amped because we're, you know, bridging that gap between zero sports and the greatest
thank
sport.
God.
Yes, thank God.
So tired of this month.
Right? This month is so weird.
It is weird.
Like, I didn't realize, like, even when you have basketball, and I don't really care too much about the NBA finals, but like, when you don't have that and there's no football right now, it's like
World Cup has been
World
cool.
Cup
I saw you
cool.
were tweeting about World Cup
because
so.
England was in it.
Good for you.
Poor England. Yeah. I really, it's funny because I didn't think that they would even get this far because they're such a young team. So I wasn't really paying too much attention. And then when they did do it, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Anyway, we won't go there. But now I'm rooting for Croatia.
I think most people are.
Yeah.
I think most people are.
Yeah. So that would be cool. The smallest country ever to win.
Yeah, it would be cool. I mean, better over France. I would prefer Croatia for sure.
Yeah,
but we're very close to football. I think it's about 40 some odd days away.
Yeah.
And we are heading into Pac-12 Media Day in 2 weeks. So we're definitely, our next podcast is going to be some stuff from there. Maybe some interviews from Bryce Love and David Shaw and some Washington guys. And we're going to start talking college football because it's almost that time.
It is.
And if you're curious about any upcoming stuff, make sure you go over to Yardbarker and check out The articles that I've been posting there, there's a Rivalries revamped one, and we're doing a college football summer reading list, which has been super fun, and I'm breaking down each conference. So the ACC one is up and ready, and the Pac-12 one goes up tomorrow. So make sure you check that out, and we'll definitely have some stuff on our Sideline SaaS site as well. Lots of videos from Pac-12 Media Day.
We need to attach, like, on our site, we need to link stuff back to the Yardbreaker site so people can read that. So we need to get on that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get all the kinks worked out. But definitely stay tuned for the next episode. The next episode where we get back to our roots and our college football ways. And
maybe by then we'll have at least first weekend announcements of where we'll be college football.
Yeah, we're working out the travel schedule, so definitely stay tuned to see if we'll be covering a team near you.
All right, guys, thanks again for joining. You've heard it here first. Sideline SaaS podcast all day, every day.
Yeah, and more Joey Chestnut to come. We may or may not be planning a special trip with him to one of his competitions next month. So
stay tuned.
Stay sassy.